Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, tonight is a show that really didn't sit well with me. You know, when I saw it perplexed on social media, you know, Vince Murdoch is a tremendous warrior, and I've had him on my show before. You know, he represents the sport tremendously. So the atrocities that are occurred over there, we'll get to in a moment. But, you know, when you look at the MTV Super Fight League, all the situations that perplexed, this story needed to be brought to everybody's attention. You know, I don't care what harm comes my way. I'm more than willing to go against the grain. You know, if it means to, you know, the betterment for a fighter and to let the fighter get his story out. You know, and what better way to do that than through Vince Murdoch? Vince, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, man. Happy to be here and finally happy to, you know, be able to speak about this publicly.
You know, the honor's all mine. You know, first and foremost, I'm kind of started off in the middle because this is the part that, you know, it chaps my ass the most. And, I mean, there's more issues, but this is the prevalent issue to me. What was it that was so detrimental that had the fighters fearing for their safety until they were back on American soil? So we can kind of work backwards toward the proceeding of this MTV Super Fight, but not in any application, in any scenario, should a fighter be in fear of his safety. What led Vince Murdoch to feel that he's being violated and not just?
Well, when it first went down, when I had that first call against me, and I got the cut on the side of my head, and I wasn't getting any answers from the promotion, they would just, like, I mean, legitimately just stop contact with me, didn't answer any of my calls. I mean, I have, like, 4 contacts for them, so I'm trying to hit them up, and it was just nothing. And someone had asked me to go on a podcast and do an interview. It might seem a little odd to, like, go against a promotion while you're still in the league, which might have been my fault, but at the same time, I was getting no answers. So I did this interview in hopes to kind of hold the league accountable for their actions and in hopes that they would fix it. I didn't go and bash them, but I did do an interview, and I was like, hey, I felt that this was unjust and wrong, and the wrong decisions were made, and I'm hoping that we can figure something out. You know, I stayed out there, and I continued to compete for them after this had happened. But after the interview, things had gotten, like, a little weirder. Bill, the CEO, had just quit responding. Like, he just cut all communication with me. If you've ever been to India, if you Google it, you'll kind of see what the area was like. And after I did that interview, people are contacting me and telling me what kind of place I'm in, and that it might have not been smart to speak out against the league while you're still there. And then everything after that started happening, they locked us up out of our hotel room. I feel like they were trying to force us out of the room. They had me get ready for a fight, and then they chose not to fight me. Just some of the things made me feel like talking or doing anything like they had the ability, like, you know, after being screwed the way I was, I realized that these guys don't play fair. Right, something's not right here. And the more I dealt with them, they were just giving me the go around. You know, there was more to it, but at the end of the day, you know what really made me fear—not fear, but like I definitely didn't feel safe. Like, they wouldn't let me go home. They wouldn't contact me about going home. You know, I had to have my coach Faber, my managers, all contact them, and they were just giving the go-around. And, you know, that's why I didn't speak or say anything after that interview. I'm sitting there every single day with all this crap on my mind, and I can't say a word. And all I'm hearing about is, you know, and if you're there, you can see what kind of place it is. It's very poverty-stricken, and you can kind of see that there's not very big government, and it's more of like, if you have money, you have power, and you can kind of get away with whatever you want. I don't want to say I was in fear for my life, but at the same time, given everything that had happened, I didn't think anything was not possible, and I definitely was nervous about speaking publicly about what had happened, the whole not being able to get me home, not paying me, all that stuff made me very, very nervous about, like what they could do to me, or, you know, literally they could do whatever they wanted. They switched contracts on us. None of that stuff is nearly as important as the two losses they gave me, but it just shows that they had the power to keep messing with me as much as they wanted, really. And so at the time, I was just like, man, these guys literally can do whatever they want. So it was important to me, so I thought, you know, even Faber, they all recommended, like, that I just relax, and not say anything, and and just keep quiet. Cool. So, and I did. I tried to anyway.
Yeah, well, you know what I was getting at. You look at it, it's the MTV Super Fight League with Amir Khan and a lot of other people, you know, that were involved in this. So, you know, you're a fighter. You think this is a clear-cut deal. You're going to go over there. You're going to fight.
Absolutely.
You know, you're going to get, you know, consistency in the sport. What Vince Murdoch got was subpar living conditions, shitty refereeing, and treated very poorly. And, you know, when I go back and I look at a lot of the comments made about this fight league, a lot of the fights that happened, you know, like we talked about before we went live, there was a gentleman that was 200 pounds that had a fight. There was a 155er that had to fight a 200-pound fighter. You know, there was a situation that precluded with you, that you were told you weren't going to fight. Go ahead and eat, Vince. And then all of a sudden, without any, you know, due diligence, you were told that you were going to be fighting and that you had to start cutting weight. Was the whole promotion ran that way from start to finish?
Yes, everything was. It was the most unorganized thing I've ever been a part of. I have been fighting professionally since 2011, fighting since 2009. And I've been a part of amateur shows that were ran a million times better than this. And every day it was something new with the promotion, some sort of they needed to do photo shoot within like 10 minutes. Like, all right, we're here to pick you up for a photo shoot, and like, we got to train. They didn't offer any training facility. We had a gym to go to with a treadmill and some weights. But they didn't offer any MMA training. We couldn't grapple. There was literally nowhere to grapple. People were grappling out by the pool. It was always something new. When we got in at like 6 in the morning after a 35-hour flight, and they told us that we needed to fast for, this was on a Tuesday, and our fight was on a Friday. And they told us we needed to fast to do our blood work. So we fasted, and then he goes, we don't have enough time today, we'll do it tomorrow. So I fast all day Wednesday, and then they go, oh, the van broke down. So Thursday's our weigh-in day. I have to weigh in. I'm still fasting. They take us to the hospital. They kept us for 8 hours. We didn't get back to the hotel until 7:30 at night, and the fight was the next day. So I had fasted that whole day. I weighed in. Wasn't able to, like, eat any food or any good food or properly hydrate. That's what I mean by saying that it was either organized poor or they were, like, literally just messing with us. I don't know. Regardless, 3 days in a row, fasting and just the lack of communication and getting ready for that first fight was terrible. But then after the first fight, all the crap that went down, I feel like after that interview that I had, I was told I was supposed to fight the following week, as a show of good faith. I promoted it. I was like, can't wait. A little bummed out about last week, but, you know, I'm ready to go again. So I'm getting ready that whole week. I'm cutting weight. I'm dieting really hard. And comes Friday, I'm cutting weight. I only got like a pound or two to go. And they go, you can't fight. And they didn't give me a reason. They didn't give me anything. They gave me nothing. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's upsetting. So then, you know, after that, I was like, man, they must be really upset about that interview because there's just no excuse to sit me out. You know what I mean? It just didn't make sense to me. The following week, same thing. I was like, I'm already out here. I've committed to a two-fight deal. Let's just get this two fights over with. Get ready. I'm training. I cut the weight. I'm on weight. And I'm having a meeting, and they tell me, you're not fighting. Go ahead and eat. You know, and I'm like already really upset at this point. You know what I mean? So I'll admit that I binged eat a little bit and I ate some unhealthy things. Definitely weren't, you know, the best choice of food, but you know, at that point I was really upset and I didn't think I was fighting. So I ate whatever really. The next day, you know, I go to breakfast, I eat, I'm just, you know, going through the motions. They call me about 3 p.m. They ask me to cut weight. They tell me you're fighting. And I go, man, I really do not feel comfortable fighting under these conditions. This is why I have a manager to stop me from doing dumb things like this because I've done them in the past. And all my losses previous to coming out here have been short-notice fights that I took without a manager because I didn't have anybody looking out for me. And I looked out for myself, and I always think I can beat up everybody. But there's no way any manager of mine would let me take a fight after, you know, doing that. But my team... The team owner, I'll keep his name out of this right now, but the team owner, so all these teams, they have owners. I was part of the Gujarat Warriors. He, to advance further into the tournament, we needed to win, right? And one of the only chances at us winning that weekend was if I competed, right? I'm obviously really confident in myself. I was like, man, I could probably beat this guy on my worst day. And so I decided, I'm just going to take the fight, you know, and I did. And they DQ'd me for getting kicked in the groin twice. So there's that, too. Same referee both times, yeah. Too. I should have known that. I was like, I don't want this referee to ref. I should have said something like that. But
you know,
it's hard to think that they didn't have it all for me.
Yeah, well, you know, it appeared that way. You know, you look at... You're a veteran of the sport. You've been around a minute. You've been on my show before. You represent the sport well. You know, and here you get this offer from Americon and MTV India to come over there and fight in the Super Fight League. And then, you know, you get all these situations perplexed towards you. I mean, I don't know how anybody in their right mind could have fought to begin with. But then you get this referee that is just... I've never seen anything like it. I watched the videos, and I'm amazed with Alan Fernandez. You know, would you say that looking at it as a professional fighter from the United States that those people over there truly weren't qualified to officiate the fights? Because you look at the two groin kicks, you were DQ'd. You also look at the cut behind your head, which wasn't even an eighth of an inch long. Nobody in their right mind, even in an amateur fight, would it have been stopped? You know, so what does Vince Murdoch do to read?
I got it. So
well, what I was going to say, what do you do to reestablish your career? How can you go about getting your career fixed with it being a situation that has acquired overseas? Now you're here back in the United States. Is there any possibility that Vince Murdoch can get this overturned?
Ideally, what I would be hoping for, because it looks like they're not willing to budge at all. I'm hoping that someone from it's like this. It's like, who polices the government? Do you get what I mean? Like, who's in charge?
Yeah, I feel you.
When they're corrupt, who polices them? Who has the power to overturn a crooked, you know, program? And that's what I'd be looking forward to, seeing if I could get another commission and maybe take a look at the evidence that I have and see if they're willing to go on record to say that this is unjust and wrong. And, you know, I'd like to – I don't even want no contest down here. These are just those were both two corrupted fights that I would like no, you know, I don't want my name established with anything. But, you know, let me go on record. I want to say that when I got the offer for SFL, I was super excited. I've been a martial artist, you know, since I was 17. The whole point of, you know, it's an honor to be able to travel the world and push the sport. You know what I mean? It's a great privilege to be able to compete, especially worldwide, right? So when I got this offer, I was really, really excited. And just to be the complete opposite, it almost seemed like they were trying to piggyback off my name or the camp that I came out of and help build the Indian promotion or the, you know, the Indian, you know, their guys, I guess. And, you know, I spoke with Alan Fernandez twice. I had two meetings with him, and he went on record. I have actually, I recorded all my conversations out there just in case, and this is why everything's, you know, I got so much evidence, it's crazy. But he goes on record to say that the ref was wrong, and he made the doctor had made a bad call. The fight shouldn't have been stopped, and that he would have overturned it if there was an appeal, since and there was no appeal, and my team owner has to send in an appeal, and I was just given the runaround. In fact, when this originally happened, the first fight in the cut, Bill literally told me that night that he would have it taken care of and that it will never even go to the, you know, the records or at all. He's going to scratch the fight completely. That was exactly what he said to me, and it just never happened. So that's the first one. And as far as the second one, he is blaming the kicks to the groin, saying that he thought I was injured, so I wasn't defending myself, when in fact I was like, he's trying to claim that I wasn't kicked in the groin on the second kick. But, you know, it doesn't matter if I was or was not. The fact that you didn't let me defend myself and let the guy, you know, TKO me or whatever the case may be, it was the wrong call, bottom line. So he went on record. I have recordings of both of these, of him, you know, saying that he was wrong, basically, and that he should be turned over to no contest. He even went on to tell me, here, write a letter and send it to this email and his email. And I did all those things, and it's nothing. Just give him the go-around. Yeah, you know, the doctor, I had a conversation with the doctor, and I go, what warrants you to stop this fight, the cut? He goes, it needs stitches. And I go, I'm in a fist fight, man. You expect me not to just get hit? Like, if I got a bloody nose, would you stop the fight? And he goes, well, that could mean your brain swelling. I was like, he would just say some of the weirdest stuff. I go, what if that cut was on my knee? Would you stop the fight? I'm like, because it needs stitches? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was like, do you remember when John Jones fought with his pinky toe hanging out? And he goes, who's John Jones? And I was like, all right, we're done talking.
I feel you. You know, Vince, I leave it up to the guest. I mean, I've got phone calls on the board. I'm going to leave it up to you if you want me to patch calls through. I don't know if they're questions. I don't know if they're from their side. It's up to you. You're the guest. How would you like to meet, you know, would you like me to patch calls through, or would you just like to, you know, have your interview uninterrupted?
Preferably uninterrupted right now. I mean, if you know who they were, I might be interested, but I don't want to get sidetracked from this story, and I really want to get it out there in the most appropriate way, professional way. So, you know, as far as getting my career back on track, like you just said, I think, you know, I would say at least five fights, five wins, and then, you know, possibly a couple more, like five to erase it, and three to, you know, be on a streak after that, because this is some serious, you know, two losses to two unworthy opponents that don't deserve to even fight me, have wins over me right now, you know. So, and you know, the UFC doesn't really look at the, you know, too much at what's going on. They look at wins and losses, you know, so.
Most definitely. You know, the thing that I look at, and the more I'm listening to you and the more I've read about it, You know, I understand the need for growth of the sport, and I understand that they're trying to grow it all over the world. Would you say that, in your opinion, as a fighter that's been world traveled, would you say that this was an orchestrated event, you know, blatantly set for you guys to lose compared to the Indian fighters to help build that league, and they were going to do whatever it took in that aspect to make sure that that was the outcome?
You know, I will say that I feel like they had the teams that they wanted to go to the finals, if that makes sense. They already had the teams that they wanted to win, which is why I think that they sat me and they sat Justin and they sat some of, you know, even on the other teams, they were sitting fighters on weeks for no reason just so that team would lose. And I do believe it was orchestrated a bit. As far as the refereeing goes, I mean, just look, man, I feel like any second they had a way out to stop my fight, they found it. I was bleeding, they stopped the fight. I was kicked, he wasn't defending himself, they stopped my fight. Same referee both times for me. It's hard to say that it's not corrupt. But, I mean, I don't know for sure, but it certainly looks that way. There's so many things that give the impression that it is, a lot of these things are fixed, or they set it up to have the Indian market look better, if that makes sense.
That makes absolute sense. You know, the thing that is still just mind-boggling to me is how that they thought they could create this, they could do this to these fighters such as yourself, and they were going to get away with it. You know, when you look at what Uriah Faber, you talked about you didn't have management before, and like I said, when you were on the show before, I guess you were getting ready to fight Archuleta. And so a lot has transpired since the last time you've been on my show. But, you know, when you were in correlation with management and you were getting talks out, did you feel that it was time for Vince Murdoch to leave long before he ever got the opportunity to come home?
I probably should have left that as soon as that first thing happened to me. But they had a way of talking to me. They convinced me. I had thought that they were going to overturn it. That was the, what I was promised. So I, you know, out of good faith, I stayed and got ready for the second fight. But yeah, ideally, I should have tried to leave after that. Who knows if they would have let me or not, because it wasn't really up to me. Like I said, the way they kept me there, I shouldn't have, you know, they screwed me once and that should have been enough. But
right.
I wasn't smart enough to see through that, I guess.
No, you were smart enough to see through that, because, you know, I believe in who you are, not just as a warrior in the cage, but a person in life. Now, Vince, if you truly had to paraphrase what you took away from over there now and what transpired to you, if you could actually say, in the words of Vince Murdoch, what this has done to your life and how it's affected you and still affecting you, and what your thoughts are about this whole MTV India Super Fight League, what would that be, my friend?
You know, it's upsetting. As a fighter, I put a lot of time into this career. I put in a lot of time getting ready to go to India. I spent a lot of money preparing for it. I had to settle my bills to leave for 4 weeks. I had to pay for supplements, pay for training, pay for coaches. I spent a lot of money preparing. And in fact, when it was the opposite, when I got there, I lost money. They were charging me money just to come home. I had to pay laundry bills. Like, they didn't even allow me to wash my clothes there. It was, to sum it up, you know what I mean? I really don't know. It was,
It sounds like it's really left a really fucked up thought in your head, bro. You know, here you understand this sport. You know what it's like to get in the cage. You know what it's like for you know, the warrior lifestyle and mentality. And here you go over there and you get the most cruel treatment that you've ever received. You get treated poorly. You have no comprehension of what's going on, but yet you can't even say what you want to say because you're in a third world country. And, you know, that's, you know, it's sadly said, but being in a third world country, we don't have control. What did it feel like for Vince Murdoch not having that control that you generally would stateside? And is Vince Murdoch ever going to fight overseas again because of the situation?
Definitely not. You know, I'm definitely going to research from now on if I do, the opportunity presents itself, and make sure, you know, have a better understanding of what I'm going into. Being able not to speak my mind and stuff was difficult because, you know, I'm not someone that really stays quiet when things aren't working. I like to stay very vocal and, you know, I like things that are very fair and just and things that make sense. And all the stuff that was going on, I wasn't able to talk about, and I just had the whole – I mean, it's seriously so much. The stories could literally go on for days. But in reality, the only thing I'm worried about is, like, how this has affected my career and, you know, why or how are they able to get away with this. I don't know. But yeah, if I ever did fight overseas again, I would definitely do my research. I just want to say too that my experience over there was not geared. My bad experience was solely towards SFL Super Fight League and not India. The Indian people were great to me. You know, I had an eye opening experience going over there, and I met some awesome people, and I did some fun things. And I don't want my you know, this interview or any of my other ones to think that this is towards the, you know, Indian population or India in general. This is strictly how SFL treated me and what they've done to me. So just want to make
most
that
definitely clear. We don't want another Colby Covington situation here, you know, because this is nowhere near that scenario. But you know, when you look at the name Amir Khan, you know, you sincerely think that this is going to be a tremendous promotion. When you look at MTV and all the aspects of it, you truly think that what you're going to get into is
legit.
Legit. Would you say that this is going to tarnish other aspects of the industry with ACB and other organizations that are trying to make their way to the U.S. or trying to export fighters to other countries? Would you say because of this situation that, you know, we need to look at the sport in a different capacity?
Yeah, if it's for the better of the sport, I hope it does bring some attention to it in all foreign things like that. Obviously, it's going to be the same thing for the hometown advantage. I understand that. But this was just unfair treatment. I'm not sure it's going to be, you know, it's not so much like that in some of these other bigger promotions. They seem like they hold a little more accountability. But yeah, you know, coming out here, I thought, you look at it, you think you're fighting for MTV, Amir Khan owns it, and those are some names, and you think it looks super legit, but it was the most unprofessional thing I've ever been a part of. And you know, it's crazy they've made it as far as they have. It is seriously ran you know, backwards. In fact, I think this, instead of going further and pushing the sport further, which I think they, you know, I talked to Alan, the ref, he thinks that he's trying to pave the way or whatever it is for the sport in India, and I honestly believe that they're going backwards, because all it is going to separate, you know, more people. If people take a look at this, and if there's more eyes on this, people are going to want to stay away from India. You know, people are not going to want to go there. People are not going to want to have anything to do with it. It's just going to be a black eye for the sport, and I think he's making a really big mistake, you know, messing with these careers of other fighters. I know I'm not the only one. You know, I know I'm not. If you could see the amount of people that have reached out to me, it's unreal. And it's all over the same guy, the same rep, you know. So
yeah. Well, see, what blows my mind is once I announced that I was going to do the show with you, people started sending me little tidbits and clips and different aspects, and it didn't seem like anything was ran the way that any legitimate organization would run. You know, like we talked about earlier, you had 155
exactly.
fighting against a 200-pound fighter. It just seemed like the motivation was greatly on them. You know, when you look at everything that has transpired, Vince, you look at the two losses that you shouldn't have received, how has this affected not just Vince Murdoch, the fighter, but Vince Murdoch, the man?
It's difficult, man. It's, outside of fighting, it's taken its toll as far as, being stressed out about it and the willingness to want to keep going in the sport. Obviously, I believe that I'm not going to let this be the end of my career, but it's definitely made me go back to the drawing board a bit and rethink things, and I've put a lot of time into this, and this just really hurt. This is a tough, tough path, and to just be set back like this and like willing to know that you gotta do more and more. This is probably like a solid year setback, and that's a long time, so as far as it's affected me mentally, a bit, I'd like to think that, I'm going to come out of the gate strong because I'm still training and my weight's low and I'm ready to, I'm ready to get back after it. But it's tough, man. It's upsetting and it's disheartening and discouraging, I guess, if that makes sense. And, I'm trying to be an upbeat person and, spread good vibes, but this is very difficult to do, when you've suffered a blow like this and it's pretty bad.
I can't even surmise or even begin to think of the frustration that you had just after the first fight, but let alone after the second fight, and then to be, have that unfair treatment. And, the sad part about it is like you said earlier, you truly didn't monetarily, you didn't make anything off this. You lost money off of this.
Tons of
people
money.
Don't
they charged me.
Yeah.
They took my fight purse and took stuff out of the hotel, said that I had to pay for food and laundry services and all these things, and it was bad. And what they did to the other fighters is even worse. They switched contracts on us. I mean, it's definitely illegal what they did. But what are we going to do? Am I going to go get a lawyer and try and sue them? They just know that we can't do anything. It's what they did is terrible, and the way the commission is set up is even worse. This honestly, I just believe it to be. I don't blame it on uneducated reffing. I blame it on corruption. If that makes you know what I mean. I don't think these guys are idiots. You know what I mean. I believe they're crooked. That's my thing. They obviously made a bad call. That is super clear. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even a question. So, and you have the opportunity to make something right, and when you choose not to, and save face, save the promotion, save your own butt, it just doesn't make sense to me, which leads me to believe that it's even more corrupt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That it was a falsity from the gate, And that's the sad part about it, And if you look at it, the way I'm kind of looking at it, in their eyes, before you even got over there, as you say, you were charged for certain things. You were charged for food. You were charged for laundry. You had to pay for this. You had to pay for that. So basically, the way it was going to...
On top of fitting us. So think about this. Justin wasn't even fighting. And he was making no money. And he had, He was out there just sitting there spending his own money to survive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about
so
that.
That's what I was going to get at.
I had my own money. It was crazy.
You guys were going to walk away owing
them
money. Yeah, you were going to walk away owing them money.
That pretty much is what happened. They also changed our contracts, so Justin was guaranteed 2 fights. Since he didn't fight a second one, they gave him 25% of his purse versus 75%, which was in our original contract, and they switched it out when we got here. So So they flew us out under false pretenses. I mean, it's crazy, man. Honestly, I really, like, that's the least of my worries because I really, like, what the officiating is probably the most, I mean, I'm sure SFL has their own battle of corruption and whatnot, but the officiating to me is what really stood out there for the commission, I guess. The whole thing just seems like, you know, whoever's got money or whatever is it is the people in power. And it just seemed very, very, very crooked.
Yeah, it appears that way to me. You know, where does Vince Murdoch go from here?
Man, I'm just trying to spread the word, and this is my first time speaking about it, so I feel like I'm going to have to clean it up a bit if I speak further on it and, you know, put my thoughts down a little more clear. It's just this is such a big story. It's 4 weeks long, and it's so difficult to explain to get it out correctly. So it's like I have to almost do it in bits and pieces. But I'm just going to keep spreading the word. You know, they're like, the damage has already been done. I'm like, no, the damage hasn't even started. Because I'll be here, you know, next time you get with season two, I'll be here a season three. And I'll still be trying to, you know, take you guys down because this is my life's work. You're not going to just, you know, come in here and try and ruin my life. And I'm not, like, going to put up a fight. Like, it's just not going to happen. I owe it to myself to spread the word in my career to – and other fighters. I mean, they're messing with other fighters' lives, too. And, you know, I'm just going to keep doing these interviews. I'm going to keep spreading the word. And as far as, you know, that goes, I'm going to keep training and hopefully look to jam out some fights. I mean, I'm ready to go. You know, I feel good. You know, those weren't my best performances out there. I don't make any hold any mistakes. It was definitely difficult competing out there, I'll say that. But yeah, I feel good, man, and I would like to just get back in there and definitely not sit too long on this, you know, these two horribly, I don't even like calling them losses. But yeah, I wouldn't like to sit on this. I'd like to just, you know, it's the beginning of the year, and I'd like to take advantage of that still and try and knock out some more fights. So,
well, I think you will, my friend. Yeah, I think you will. You know, you made a statement, and it was kind of just touching on what we were just going on. And I understand that there's probably 100,000 thoughts going through your head right now because you want to get it all out there, and it's just it's coming to you at once, and it's kind of hard to get it out there,
yeah.
But When you look at it in retrospect, you know, it truly has tarnished your career, Vince. I mean, you look at something, how do we change it? Okay, then we go from there. We take it up with commissions. We take it up with sanctioning bodies and that. But in the meantime, like you said, you want to get out there and bang out fights. Do you feel that this tarnishment is going to hinder you moving forward until the situation is corrected?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be difficult to move forward with this hanging over me. And, you know, my management is going to, it's more difficult for them to probably get me fights and, you know, get behind me and really rally me up to get a big fight because I'm coming off two losses, basically. I'm 10-5, like 10-5 sounds terrible. You know what I mean? I didn't even like being 10-3. That was rough for me to swallow, when, you know what I mean? And, yeah, man, I do think it's possible to get these overturned, only because I have enough evidence to prove that, one, they're corrupt. I have recordings, you know what I mean? I have, like, proof that the commission is corrupt. And then, two, the evidence just clearly shows that these are terrible calls. Like, I got kicked in the groin. You can't DQ the guy that got kicked in the cup. It just doesn't add up. You know what I mean? And, you know, it just doesn't make sense. So I'm really just hoping that I do believe that it is possible. I got to figure it out. I got to sit down with some people that can make it happen or talk to somebody that knows something, you know, or go, you know, just get a hold of somebody to hold these people accountable.
Well, if I know Uriah Faber like I know Uriah Faber, and he truly believes each and every aspect that he puts his name on or affiliates himself with, he will go, could have been bad for you 100,000%. You know,
we talked about it. But it's hard because I'm saying a lot of things right now, and I don't want to put his name on anything until we've kind of sorted a statement out between each other that one that he can stand behind and support 100%. He was the one out there messaging. He was up to bat for me the whole time, to begging them to send me home. Telling me to stay in my room, lock the doors. Like he was on it every day, checking in on me. I know Faber has got my back, and he will do whatever it is, that he can. But right now, I think I would like to just kind of see what I can do, because I don't want to put his name on a bunch of things. You know what I mean? I don't know if it can get him in trouble, but I'd rather keep him, clear. I mean, this whole thing it stinks, man. You don't want to be around all this negative publicity. I mean, it's not good. If I need attention, he's there for me to get some attention around this. I know he'll do that if need be. I'm just hoping I can sort this and, get this taken care of. I know it's got to be possible. There's too much evidence and too many things around it supporting my claim, and you know what I mean? You can just clearly tell these are bad calls. It doesn't take a genius. I mean, you take any ref or commission from California, was it CSAC or whatever it is, and you have them take a look at this evidence and say, how would you score this? How would you judge this? What would your, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And see what they come up with.
You know, the thing I got, when I wanted to do the show, I'm like you, there were so many things that perplexed in my mind, because as I watched and saw things unfold, and then I got to watch the video, a good friend of yours, Josh Lawrence, and several other people sent me this, I guess immediately right after you posted it. And, I knew this was an interview I wanted to do. I knew it was going to be kind of chaotic because things are just now settling down. But the thing of it is at the end of the day, Vince Murdoch has to be Vince Murdoch. You can't let what Amir Khan and MTV India and Super Fight League, take away from what you've created, not only as a warrior, but a man in life. So moving forward in life, I would love to see other promotions offer you opportunities that you can, to my listeners, you can go to my page, you can go to my social media outlets, you can look and you can see the videos for yourself. These fights were truly unjust. Vince, it saddens me, and it truly does leave a black mark on the sport when you see a warrior like yourself treated with such indignity. After this experience, how can we, as people that are the inner workings or part of the sport, how can we help change and make sure that this won't happen again? Or do you think it's a situation that is kind of growing in popularity and out of control as far as overseas promotions?
I think it'll never be able to be completely fixed, but if we bring enough attention to it and we get more eyes on it, it won't go unnoticed, you know what I mean? And I think that's important to make change. If we put the word out there that there's corruption going on, people are going to stay away from it, or it's just going to get, the promotion won't be able to thrive under those conditions. It'll call for a change. I just think it's important to get as much attention around this as possible, other promotions as well. Anytime something like this happens, there should be some sort of consequence, they shouldn't be able to just get away with it, and it sucks because some people just don't have the, they just get taken advantage of, and they just accept the fate of whatever happens, but not me. Not me.
Yeah. I don't blame you, man. I actually commend you. When you speak of Alan the Bull Fernandez, the referee, you say you don't really think it was the bad officiating, but more or less the aspect that they were told what to do and prior to the fight and in certain situations. Do you feel that was a situation that had perplexed in both your fights and Do you feel that you were just singled out because you did do that interview?
Well, the first one is, honestly, man, it's hard to tell. I'd like to think that that shit doesn't exist. I really would. But how are you going to stop a fight with a cut on the side of my head? It just doesn't make sense. You're in a physical fist fight with another human being. Of course someone's going to get punched or get hurt or, you know what I mean? My second fight for Bellator, I broke my jaw. I fought through it. I won the fight. You know what I mean? I broke my hand in a fight. Like, they don't stop the fight then. I remember I separated my shoulder, put it back in, and fought. You know, I know everything's a little different and circumstances are different, but there was no bleeding. The bleeding had stopped. It just, I don't want to say that it was bad officiating or corruption. Like, the fact that they won't change it leads me to believe that it's corrupt. If you made a mistake, fine. Admit that mistake and fix it. But, like, the fact that they don't want to fix anything, it does seem that way. I did the interview. Things got a lot worse for me. So it does lead me to believe that things were spoken about. Like, I don't know how it happened. I'm not saying they told the guy to go out there and kick me in the nuts. I'm thinking it might have been more along the lines, like, find a way, if something happens in this fight, find a way to stop it as soon as you can. I mean, even if I getting kicked in the nuts or whatever, how do I lose from that? How is that even the right decision? That's what I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, there could have been a million different things to end that with, but to give me a loss, like, it just doesn't make any sense. So it does almost seem that way, doesn't it? Like, I don't know how else to put that, because these are just some weird circumstances where I was handed two losses instead of no contest when none of them should have been stopped to begin with. Does that make sense? None of these fights should have been stopped, and if they were stopped, there should have been no contest. And the fact that they're neither of those and they're marked as losses, I just don't understand. And, you know, I hate the thought of it being predetermined and they're out to get me. Like, that just blows my mind, but it's hard to rule that out, because that almost looks the case. You know what I mean? You look at it on paper, people talk to me, and they even say the same thing. And I don't know. You know, I let people make their own opinions.
You know, it's hard because I know you've worked so hard to get where you're at in life. I know you've struggled and you've persevered. You've gone without family time. You've gone without the normalcy of life to get where you're at, to create the name Vince Murdoch. And in one fell swoop, you know, now it's tarnished. Now you have to rebuild. You know, does Vince Murdoch have the tenacity, have the strength to overcome this and rebuild who he is in the cage and as a man in life?
Absolutely. I mean, of course I do. It's discouraging. You know what I mean? That's the only thing I can really say. Like, it makes things more difficult. But I'm not going to let something crooked as this or a shady promotion keep me down and let this be the end of, you know, me or my career. Like, I'll just work 10 times harder. I don't care. You know, I feel like I was put here to entertain. You know, that's my job as a martial artist, is, you know, to put on a show for people. And you know, being in a sport's not all about how far you get. It's more so, you know, how much you enjoy it. And I feel like competing in general is a blessing itself, right? There's a lot of people out there that don't have the ability to compete or the means to compete. Being able to compete and showcase your ability in front of anybody is truly a blessing. It's a gift, and I'm just happy to be able to do it for a living. And you get what I mean? I mean, it really is an awesome experience to be able to compete. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of sacrifices that go into doing that, but they're all worth it. You know what I mean? I love it. I absolutely love everything about the sport and the people I've met and the roads that's led me down. They may be tough, but they're all worth it. And, you know, it's a blessing to be able to be a professional athlete and, you know, do this stuff for a living.
Yeah, and you truly deserve all the, you know, acclaim you get. You truly are a tremendous warrior. You know, the people are blocking you now on social media. The people are trying that are affiliated with this are blocking you, trying to stay away from you, not returning calls. You know, that right there is a clue to me that, you know, on their part, nothing is going to be done on the behalf of Vince Murdoch to rectify this situation. You know, it's going to be up to people like me that are doing shows like this and others that will follow that are going to truly share your message. You know, at the end of the day, though, you look at everything that has transpired. Vince, you know, it's probably had to have been one of the hardest situations you've ever been through as a fighter or just even a man in life. You know, I couldn't picture myself in that situation where I felt if I spoke that I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, the feeling of no control. Now that you're back here in America, now that you're able to settle down and think about things and try to find the right path, what would Vince Murdoch like to be his most poignant statement about what the situation has taught him moving forward?
If anything, this situation has just made me very, very grateful of the life that I've had so far and the experiences. Being over there has shown me that we do have it a lot better here in America, especially to compete and the ability to showcase our skills and be noticed. There's not any single statement that I could really make that would that could really sum this up, other than, you know, it's done a lot of damage, but I'm not gonna let it defeat me, and I plan on just taking this on the chin and keep going forward.
Yeah, and Bill Dosanich has not came forward to even try to rectify this. You know, Vince, the reason I did this show was. Go ahead, sir.
I've asked these guys like almost every single day for 3 weeks straight. I was like, look, man, let's get on the same page. Let's tackle this together. I would love nothing more than to settle this with you guys or fix this with you guys. I don't want to go out and say all these things. In fact, I won't. I'm not worried about the money. I don't want any money. So help me fix this. And the whole time, they're just going back and forth. They're like, oh, it's the commission. I talked to the commission. They're like, oh, SFL needs to do this. And they just point blame at each other. And it's not like I hadn't tried to solve this. In fact, I had turned down the interview yesterday because someone had reached out to Alan for me saying that he was going to consider writing that letter for me for the commission, which was the only reason why we had to move the show. So to think, you see how far I've like went the length to not, like I haven't posted anything. That's the only post that I've made, the one that's on Facebook right now. And I went to great lengths to see if these guys, you know what I mean, to work with them. And I was like, you know, I would love to be able to work something out versus fight you guys on this. You know what I mean? I don't want to have to do 20 interviews and telling you guys how you treated me and how unjust. I have all the proof. It's not like it's going to be hard for me to convince anybody. But, you know, they're sticking to their guns, and it is what it is now.
I feel you there. You know, one thing I'm going to do for you, you know, I've been in the sport a long time, and I've happened to meet some pretty cool-ass people. You know, I happen to know the global commissioner. I'm going to reach out to him, and I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want anybody to know the scenario or who we're talking about. But if you don't mind, I would love to be able to have the ability to pass your phone number, you know, onto the global commissioner so you can have a retrospect, get whatever knowledge you need to ascertain from him on that level to get these two fights overturned. Would that be all right if I was able to do something like that for you, Vince?
Absolutely. In fact, that would be very greatly appreciated. Anything that you can think of, anybody that you know, I'm willing to talk to anybody that will listen, that wants to listen, or thinks that they can help. You know, everything's truly, this interview, you know, I appreciate everything. I just being able to talk about it has been huge for me because I've just been holding it in, you know, not making any posts just because it's too hard to post, if that even makes sense. Like, how do you write a book on Facebook, you know what I mean? And I'm tired of just sounding like I'm ranting. I just, it's hard to to make sense of it and put this whole story in the words, and it's everything's appreciated. I would appreciate anything that you think that would help the situation.
Oh, brother, you know I'm there because I can't surmise the thoughts that are going through your head, and I understand, you know, how you don't want to write a book on social media and how you just want this corrected and let Vince Murdoch move forward in his life and see the life that, you know, live the life that he truly do, you know, you do deserve. You know, this is an atrocity. I'll be honest with you. When I found out that Amir Khan and MTV India and other aspects were involved in this, the more pissed off I got because, you know, I don't mind doing shows against the grain. I don't care who hates me, but one thing I won't do is let somebody ruin a fighter's career unjust. And I feel that's what they've done here. So I will do everything in my power to help you, Vince. I give you my word on that. You know, it was truly an honor for me to have you on the show. I know that your thoughts are perplexed and everything's going through your head 1,000 miles an hour. You know, I appreciate what you were able to share on the show today because I know it's hard on you because you're deep in thought. You're still actually coming back to normalcy yourself after all of this. You know, what bothers me is just the simple fact that, you know, people feel that they can do this to others without any, you know, reflection on their lives and their family. That pisses me the fuck off. I'm sorry to my listeners for cussing, but it truly does. You know, it's just, I know you, Vince, and I know what you're about, and I feel you when you say you don't want to publish a book on social media because you don't want it to be a rant. You just want justification. So if this does come to and all apparitions work out in your favor and you get justification, where will that leave Vince Murdoch looking back at the past? Will you be an advocate, you know, in situations like this for others?
Absolutely. You know, I'd like to encourage anyone to stand up. You know, even now me going through this, I think it kind of opens my eyes to other situations. You know, if something's not right or someone's doing something wrong, speak up. People, especially depending on the severity of the situation, I'm definitely going to try and help or gain some ground on helping situations like this or people that have causes similar to this or anything to do with corruption or whatever. I'll support, and I would definitely like to make it be known. Like, if I fight this and I win this, I'm going to hold on to that. And if these guys are still in business after this, obviously, I mean, they got a lot more money than I do, and I'm sure they'll find a way. But, you know, I would like to continue to spread the word and, you know, keep the good fight. You know, I'm not just going to, you know, let this be about me and, you know, I win the war or whatever the thing is and then it's over. It's never going to be over because there's going to be another guy or there'll be another fighter, a victim of a bully promotion just like this. And, you know, I would like to help, you know, prevent it as much as I can or just, you know, gain awareness and, you know, let fighters know that they have some sort of power or voice or there is something you can do. And, you know what I mean? You know, don't just give in and let these people ruin your lives.
Most definitely, my friend, and very well said. You know, I will do all I can beside you as a person of compassion in the sport. I will do everything and reach out to everybody in my power that I know to help you try to get the situation rectified. You know, Vince, it truly was an honor to have you on today. It was truly an honor to have you share such a hard story to share because you don't even completely understand the whole situation yet yourself.
I'm still trying to dissect it.
Yeah, bro, I feel you 100.
I apologize.
You know, oh, you're good. You know, I like the story told from the fighter as it is, you know, and you truly did that today. You defined your heart and what the sport means to you and the unfair treatment, and all you want is justification. So with that being said, you know, I'm going to pass the mic to you. If there's anything you'd like to add to the program or any sponsors or just anything of that nature, the floor is yours, my friend.
Man, I'll just add, if anybody wants to follow and jump on board with the cause, follow me at Vince Murdoch, Instagram, Facebook, they're usually all the same. Twitter, same. I would appreciate all the support, all the retweets, all the reposts and comments and stuff, and tagging the promotions, because they've blocked me, and it all matters, it all counts, and it's all helping. And I can't even put into words how much it means to have so many people behind me, helping me and helping me, you know, push this. It's cool, and it's very much appreciated, and I can't put it into words on how much it means to me. I just want to thank everybody that has said something, or all the support I have received so far and continue to receive. All the people just, you know, reaching out to me, it's been quite, you know, amazing, because I didn't realize, you know, I had the power to touch so many people, or that sounded weird, but so I didn't realize it would be able to reach so many people, and, you know, people would, you know, have some sort of sympathy or whatever for me, and it's cool. It's awesome to see people reach out and lend a helping hand, and see that I have been wronged, and, you know, it's very much appreciated. And as far as sponsors go, I just want to, you know, thank my team, Mountain Lion Aviation, Team Alpha Male, you know, Caffeine and Kilos, Patino Diet, Everlast. There's so many, but Rev Gear, Meals by MJ, but everybody that's just helped me. You guys know who you are, and it's appreciated. So thank you.
Well, you know, Vince, before we go, I will not stop this fight until you get some sort of justification. Like I said, I will reach out in all my forms that I have available and accessible to me to help you, you know, get this justified and your record fixed. On that note, you know, it truly was an honor to have you on. As you know, my show is syndicated now. It's on this network this week. Next week, the show goes out onto iHeart. So it's going to be shared on multiple platforms by the time this show is done. You know, it truly isn't the end of the fight. It's just the beginning. And I got your back, homie. So with that being said, I'll be in touch with you. Thank you for joining my show and sharing your story with my listeners. It's truly been an honor.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I can't wait, man. I'll get back with you in a couple of days, and we'll get the commissioner involved, and we'll see what we can do, brother.
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Vince Murdoch. That was kind of a hard show to do, you know. He really didn't have the story perpetuated in his mind, and how to speak it, how to say it. So, you know, you kind of just got to take the bits and pieces that he shared. And Vince Murdoch is a true warrior. And none of this, if you go look at the videos on my page on Facebook, or you go look at anybody's aspects of this, he was truly treated unfairly. And I'm ashamed of Americon and MTV India and the Super Fight League. I'll do everything I can to help abolish you in my name and give Vince back his record. With that being said, we're going to take a quick commercial timeout. When we come back, we're going to have Christina Warhorse Williams.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Much love to Mo Thug's family and the 86ers.net. I'm kind of at a loss, you know, but we're going to keep this show going, and we're going to jump to Christina Warhorse Williams. Hey, Christina, this is Don McGuire with The Fighter's Voice. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, coming off of an hour-long interview with Vince Murdoch over the travesties of the Super Fight League in India under MTV India and Amir Khan. but a travesty of being caught overseas and not really having the respect or the certain aspects that we do here in America. So it was kind of a deep interview, you know, kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things. And, you know, but here we got Christina Warhorse Williams, a tremendous athlete, you know, two pro fights in and is already at the top of her division. You know, when you look at it in that aspect, Christina, how hard or how culpable is it for you to understand the fame that you've gotten so quick and with such veracity?
I mean, I'm still pretty blown away by it. It doesn't, like, you know, I mean, last time it was pretty crazy, but this time I'm still just, like, blown away by the fact that I beat someone that was so high up.
You know, when you look at it, and from my point of view, watching the fight, what I've seen was a very self-assured, reassured fighter. But not only that, I saw somebody that was very confident and comfortable in the situation that she was in. You seem more comfortable in this fight with Emily Ducote than you did with Heather Hardy. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
I don't know if I was more comfortable. I think that I was very confident in both fights. Once I got in the ring, I was a little more nervous before this fight, but once I got in the ring, I was actually very confident. And once I start, you know, fighting, I pretty much get more confident as the fight goes on.
Yeah, you know, well, what I meant by confident, you know, when you look at the Ducote fight, you were constantly moving forward. It didn't seem like you even broke a second wind, but yet you were constantly moving forward. You were very aggressive. You know, you look at most fighters that have their second fight in as a pro, and the caliber generally isn't there. You know, so you see an extensive amount of growth in Christina Warhorse Williams from the Heather Hardy fight to the Emily Ducote fight. Now you sit back and you look, and the world recognizes you, and you look at what you've done. You've beaten two of the top two competitors in your division, and it's only your second fight out. The world's going to take notice, my friend, because what you're doing is tremendous. The athlete that you are is commendable. You know, what does Christina Warhorse Williams do now? You know, I've spoke with your management, so I know there's certain things that we can't touch on or won't touch on. But just in your thoughts as a warrior, where would you like to see things go from here? Would you like to see it gradually progress from here, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would like to see it gradually progress because I think that I have a lot more growth to do, especially in my fight game. Because I mean, I took two really big fights, and I think that I still, like, I was able to win and I did it well, but I still think I have a lot of growing to do as far as my fight game is concerned.
Yeah, when I watch both fights, you know, and I watch them regularly because the ability that you show, I don't think that, you know, and don't take this wrong, but I think sometimes warriors don't see their true potential. They don't see their true ability yet because, as you said, you're growing into it. You know, when I look at your style, the character, and the development into the second fight, it's been hugely tremendous growth since the first fight. You know, I'm intrigued to see what the third fight is going to bring down the road. You know, what does it mean for you, though, to be in Bellator, to be successful, and finally find, you know, the true passion of where you need to exist? Now you got to sit back and maintain all the growth, the hype, the everything that comes with it. How hard is that for Christina Williams to jump into this in the everyday norm?
I mean, it's definitely been a change as far as, because I'm doing this a lot more, like pretty much almost full-time now training. So it's been a lot different, and but it's been good too. I mean, I find like I'm really enjoying being able to train like this, and it's not something I've ever been able to do before. So I'm super excited to see where it goes from here.
Yes, I got a question in my green room, and I'm going to ask you. It comes out of Raleigh, North Carolina. It says, how does basically somebody who has never been heard of before step up in the pro rankings and be as devastating as she is? How do you withhold the ability and thought in your heart and not let it overpower you?
I'm not really sure exactly what you mean by...
I think what they're getting at is here you are, somebody that is, you know, your second pro fight in Bellator. You came from an amateur career and other aspects of the sport, but now the world knows who you are. So I think what they're getting at is, you know, how do you maintain that passion, that perseverance, and that stride in the building with all this other attributes that are surrounding you now?
I mean, it's been a little bit hard. I mean, it gets a little stressful, especially because I'm very introverted, so all the new stuff has been a little bit stressful. But, like, I really enjoy, like, the training aspect. That's something that I really love, is training and growing as a martial artist. So that has been actually easier for me, but I feel like I'm growing more into the person that I need to be to do this.
Yeah, trust me, I'm introverted too. A lot of people would say there's no way that Don McGuire could be introverted. You know, I'm truly an introverted person. I go in and do the events, and, you know, they keep trying to push my show to the video aspect, and I'm so against it, but I know I need to, because that's the next step in my life and in radio. But I know that aspect. So how hard is it for you, Christina, to, you know, give up that time with your horses, give up that time, you know, that you had to reflect on before, but now it's more predominantly the building of Christina Warhorse Williams that is the magnitude in your career now. How hard is it for you to give away that aspect?
It's been kind of hard, because it's hard to balance being able to devote enough time to either one, so it's kind of hard to actually give my horse as much time at all right now. So that's been kind of hard, just figuring out that I really can't do both well. So I have to, like, put the horses kind of on the back burner right now and focus on this. But, you know, it's something – I love both of them so much. And I've been doing horses for a really long time. So I feel like it's time that I have this opportunity to build this up, and it's what I should do right now.
When you look into the unique path that you've created in this sport already, you know, how much more would you say Christina Williams is defined now? And how much more would you say that when you look at a fight, there isn't that not knowing aspect? Because now you're two fights in, you've beat two of the top competitors that are ranked in your division, you know. Do you look at the situation as more relaxed and more culpable for you to go in now, and an easier situation, I guess, to say, for you to handle, knowing what is expected?
Yeah, I definitely think that it is a little bit easier now that I've done it a couple times, and I know what's actually going to be happening and everything. So I definitely think it's easier. I mean, you still never know exactly what's going to happen, but I think it definitely helps.
I think it's tremendous that you're going to take the slower process in this sport. You know, I look at Juan Archuleta, you know, a 7-time world champion, 4-time division champion, and he slowly built who he was. But when you look on paper, you look on social media, a lot of people were reflecting, saying that you can take on, you know, Alima Lay McFarland in your next bout. But you and I both know that isn't the route you want to take. What is the thought process when it comes to management, a camp? When you have a fighter that has tremendous success like you, how much relevance is paid from your half to management in regards to what you do in the future?
I think that we're doing it the right way. We're trying to build me up, make sure that I'm, like, ready for everything, like, the mental aspect of it, like, being such a big deal, and the training aspect of it, because I'm still, I mean, only 2-0 as a pro, so I think that we work really well together.
I think you do, too, and you're a legit 2-0 pro. Don't sell yourself short there. You know, most people don't go out and beat two of the best fighters in their weight class and just, you know, sit back and not be content with it. You know, I look at what you've done in this sport, and I love having you on the show because you truly do exemplify what life is about. I love what you do with your horses, and now you watch you in the sport. It's tremendous. You know, now that you sit back and you get that opportunity to look at the work that you've created in your last two fights, how does that make Christina Williams feel, knowing that she has found her place in the sport?
It definitely gives me a lot more confidence, and it gives me a lot more drive, too, to know that I took both of those, and they were, you know, I was way the underdog on both of the fights. So just stepping up like that, it gives me a lot of confidence in my fight game and in me, and like in myself.
Yes, most definitely. You know, how do you feel the relationship with you and Bellator is now that, you know, you've come in and you've taken the world by storm, you've created a name for yourself overnight. You know, how does it feel to be predominantly now signed with Bellator moving forward?
I mean, it feels really good. I think that, like, they've seen that I'm willing to step up and take a risk, and that I'm, like, when I fight, that I'm going to give it everything. So I think they're pretty happy with that.
You know, I kind of want to jump back to the Ducote fight. You know, a lot of people, you know, said there was a lot of, there was a noticeable size difference. Do you feel that being the taller and the lengthier fighter, do you think it gave you an advantage going into this fight, or do you feel that it was pretty much a 50-50 fight and the better fighter was going to win, or do you feel you had that advantage?
I definitely think that, you know, reach is definitely an advantage in size, but she had a lot more advantage as far as experience, and she's had a lot more fights than I have, and I think that kind of evened it out.
You know, when you sit back and, God, I know this has got to be a lot for you to take in, because I don't know how I would handle it. I mean, I'm just speaking as a normal everyday Joe, you know, because I appreciate you. You know, you've been coming on my show before any of this happened, and I respect you in all regards. But I really don't know if I would be able to handle the situation you're in. You're handling it like a true veteran of the sport, and I commend you on that. You know, worldwide success doesn't come to many, and you got that opportunity to shine on a world-class level. What does that mean for you, Christina, and the team that backs you and the management company that backs you to be able to go out there and now represent them in such a worldly fashion?
I mean, it's super exciting to be able to, you know, represent everybody that has, like, spent so much time working with me and helped me so much, and to be able to, like, do it in, like, the way that I've been able to means so much to me, and, like, it means so much to them, too, because they've been there every step of the way with me. So, I mean, it means a lot.
You know, I can only imagine, you know, here you get thrusted on the James Lynch show, which is a tremendous show, and I know both me and him are uniquely different, but we still can try for the same thing. You know, I've watched the growth of you, and it's tremendous. What you're doing is I've never seen before. You know, I'll be quite honest with you. I've been in gyms all across the country, and I've never seen anybody step up as a 2-0 pro and beat the quality fighters that you have. It's a true testament to the people that back you and the people that train you. How much, you know, I guess the best way to explain it for my listeners is, how much time and devotion and belief does it take on behalf of a fighter in their camp and the people that are giving them advice to get to the level that you're at, Christina?
It takes a lot of time. You know, I mean, I trained for like 4 or 5 years before Like I pretty much started left before I went pro, but once I went pro, it's like I'm dedicated. I'm working like 6-7 days a week, and you know, everybody spends extra time with me, and I'm in my coaches and everything. So I mean, it takes a lot of devotion. You have to be. Some days you don't feel like doing it, and that's when you need the people behind you to help you. So I mean, it definitely takes a lot.
Yeah, I understand you there. You know, and you talk about you've had 4 or 5 years of experience in this before you even stepped in as a pro. But, you know, the 2 fights in, you see where you need to, you see where you need to grow. You see where you need to, you know, I guess the best way would be to say it, where you need to attribute more of your abilities to. You know, but when I look at these 2 fights, you know, I see growth, exponential growth from the first fight to this one. You know, how does one feel that they have to mature? Or are you just going to let your career be guided by your mentors and follow that footpath? Because you yourself have never been, you know, this far as a pro and yet still unbeaten.
No, I mean, I definitely will be listening to my coaches and my mentors, but I also think that I have a lot of improvement to do. I listen to everything that they tell me and make my decisions.
Yes. Oh, I think you're tremendous. Have you had to pinch yourself yet and realize that this is not a dream, that this is truly happening for you?
Oh yeah, I actually was looking back, and my first pro fight was, I think it was March 11th, or not my pro fight, my first amateur MMA fight was March 11th, so it was like a year ago from a few days ago, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this has all happened since then. It's been such a short amount of time. I would have never thought this would have happened to me at all.
I know, it's kind of crazy, right? You sit back and you go, this has happened, and you know, it just speaks profoundly about the love that you have for the sport and how much you respect the sport and your natural ability as a warrior. You know, it blows my mind though, because I sit back and I go, what's next for her? Because I speak very closely with your management. They're very good friends of mine, and I respect what they do in life. You know, and after the second fight, the world went, holy crap, Christina Warhorse Williams is completely legit. You know, I knew this after the first fight with Heather Hardy, but, you know, you pretty much put the nail in the coffin after the Dakota fight. When you were sitting back in the hotel room and you just had that moment and you just realized that not only have you beat one of the top-ranked fighters in your division, but now you beat, you know, a very prevalently ranked fighter in your division. What were those last few moments, you know, with yourself? What were they like? And were you deep in thought? And did you have just a little bit of a smile in your heart, or did you just sit back and go, well, what the hell just happened?
I mean, it's kind of both. I feel like I did sit back and I was like blown away. Like in my mind, I was like, this is really happening. And I really just won that fight. It's kind of both. It kind of just like, it's hard to actually believe. And like when it sets in that I actually did it.
You know, I can only imagine, you know, I watched the fight and I was so proud of you. You know, the one thing that stood out for me the most, and, you know, generally I don't even talk about the fights on my show, but we talk about you and the aspects of it. But what I took from the fight, and I hope you agree with me, was I saw a fighter going forward. I saw a fighter that was very dedicated to the attribute that she was bringing, you know, to the other opponent. But what I think really pepped me up and really made me, you know, love the quality of your style was you didn't back down, and you throw fights in multiple, I mean, not fights, you throw punches and kicks in multiples. You know, looking at it in that aspect compared to your first fight, you know, you didn't have that opportunity in your first fight. You went a little bit deeper with Dakota in this fight. Do you feel that you were able to show the opponent, the sport, how much more there is to Christina Warhorse Williams' ability, but yet not give away the whole gift basket?
Yeah, for sure. I think that it shows that, I mean, Emily is a really tough and really legitimate opponent, and, like, when she hit me, I made sure that I finished every exchange with a couple punches, and I don't back down ever. Like, I'm not scared of getting hit at all. So when she would hit me, I would just make sure I fired back, and I'm a very aggressive fighter, and it's just, it doesn't back me down when someone hits me. It makes me go forward.
Yeah, and that was very prevalent in that fight. And I hope you don't take this wrong, but you look at a picture of you, and you get this, you know, wholesome country, you know, young, you know, young lady, and then you get in the octagon, and it just, that totally goes away. What allows you to flip that switch? And I know you've been asked this a multitude of times, but I mean, you truly are a very giving, docile person in life. So when you step in the octagon, you truly transform into somebody else. What allows Christina Warhorse Williams to go from, let's per se, the librarian into the beast?
I mean, I don't know. When I get in the ring, I feel like that's where I'm supposed to be, and like I can let go, and we're both there for the same reason. So I'm not like really like nervous about what's going to happen in the fight. I just feel like I can give everything in there.
Most definitely. You know, you've proven yourself time and time again, and your last two fights have been tremendous. If there was a statement that you could make to my listeners, to the fans of Christina Warhorse Williams who are believing in you, backing you, and supporting you, what would that statement be, Christina?
Just thank you so much for supporting me and like being there for me when I had only one fight and like at the very beginning. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, it truly is an articulated statement, because you look at, like I said on the first interview before you fought Heather Hardy, I truly felt that you were being put in there in some situations to lose, but you proved the world wrong. And then you go in there against Emily Ducote, who, you know, just got through fighting Alima McFarlane for the strap, and you basically, in my opinion, you won that fight hands down. You know, so the growth is there, the aspect of the warrior is there. You know, how hard is it for you, Christina, you know, to sit back now and just, you know, take all this in, deal with the social media, deal with all the retrospects that come with fame, because you did get overnight fame. How hard is it for you to have the daily norm as it was before you had this fame?
It's definitely a lot different for me now, especially with training so much more. I guess it is a little bit more stressful, but I'm getting better at working through everything. And I mean, it's also a blessing too, to be able to train like this. And I mean, it's amazing to have the support of so many people. So it's still crazy though.
I know, right? I'm sorry, but I know that the certain aspect of you, because I had you on the show before. And so to my listeners, Christina truly is just a humble person in life. So, you know, this has all been just thrust on her. So I like I said, you know, you got to pinch yourself to see if it's really real. You know, I promised your management company I wouldn't make this interview too long. You know, you're just coming off of a tremendous victory and a long camp. So I'm not going to keep you terribly much longer. But, you know, one question I do have for you before I let you go here is, you know, now that you've seen what you can do, and we've already talked about you're going to take the time and get the build up, what would Christina Warhorse Williams like in the next opponent? Not a name, but what would you like a fighter that would bring, you know, be comparable style to you? Would you like a fighter that is a 360? What are you looking for in your next opponent? Not a name, but just, you know, mentality aspects.
I never would turn down a fight with a striker, but I also think that I do have ground game, even though I couldn't see it in the last fight. I would be willing to take a fight that wasn't so much a striking fight, but I'm pretty much game for whatever.
Yeah, you know, those leg kicks of yours, come on, I don't think you'll ever get to the ground with those leg kicks. I got to admit, those are some of the most tremendous leg kicks that I've seen from a young fighter in all my life in this sport. I think you're blessed with ability. You know, they say fighters are born, but champions are made, and I see that happening in the heart of Christina Walrus-Williams. I think you're a tremendous attribute to Bellator MMA. I think you're a tremendous attribute to the sport and to anybody around you. On this final statement of the interview, because I know you're just coming back and you're starting to do these things now and you've had a little bit of rest, you know, what does it truly mean for you, Christina, to have this success, to be able to understand it and propel yourself forward and maintain the humility that you have up until this point?
It's been a really big blessing to me, and I think that it's only going to push me to train harder, and I think that, you know, training gives me humility because there's so much more of it. There's so much that I don't know. Like, anytime I go to train, there's someone who has something to teach me that I've never heard of before. So I think that, like, MMA and training gives you a lot of humility a lot of times. So I'm just ready to learn more and to get even better.
Oh, my friend, I think that's the beginning has begun. And I think, you know, that you've got a tremendous career in the sport. I think what you've shown to the world thus far is nothing short of tremendous. You truly are legit. Like I said, I've been in gyms all across the country, and I would have never said this could truly happen for an individual, but you're proving me wrong, and I'm glad you are because you're a great attribute to the sport. If you had a message to say to Bellator for the opportunities that they've given you, what would that message be before we get to your sponsors?
Just thank you so much for the opportunity, and I'm ready for whatever's next.
Yeah, I think the world's ready for whatever's next. I think you got a long, promising career, my friend. You know, on behalf of the Fighter's Voice, I truly want to thank you for taking the time and giving my show, you know, your opinion, your values, and what the sport means to you. You truly are a warrior on the rise, and that truly needs to get the notoriety and the respect that you deserve. It's truly been an honor to have you on. You know, much congratulations on the Dakota fight. I look forward to your next fight, as I know it's going to be another bite your nails kind of fight, because I believe in you, so I'm going to back you till the cows come home. On that note, I'm going to pass the microphone over to you. Any sponsors, any social media sites, any friends or family, or just anything you'd like to add to the program, Christina, the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, I just want to thank all my partners and training partners at American Elite MMA, and then my managers, Reese and Mikhail at TKO Combat Sports, and then Vintage Warrior and KBT Equine. And then you can find me at Warhorse MMA on Instagram and Christina Warhorse Williams on Facebook.
Most definitely. And Mikhail, you better get me an autographed shirt, because a future world champion in the house. No, I truly believe that. I'm sorry, but I see your ability, and Mikhail better hook a brother up. You know, Christina, what you've done in this sport is nothing short of sensational. But what I love most about you is you haven't let it change you in any aspect, and I think that's what is to be commended in you. You're a genuine person. You're a tremendous fighter with great ability, but yet you're still Christina Williams. And at the end of the day, I think that's truly what matters. I wish you the best of luck in your next fight. I hope to have you on before you fight again. You know, with that being said, thank you for blessing my show. Congratulations on the Dakota fight and proving to the world that you're not just a fluke. You're here to stay, and you're gonna be a damn household name, girl. It's kind of crazy, but you know what? Looking at it that way, you have that ability. On that note, thank you so much for blessing my show. I wish you the best of luck in the future. You have a tremendous evening, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Christina Warhorse Williams. Wow, if you go back and watch the Emily Ducote fight, you know, she's persistent, she's powerful, and she beat one of the top-ranked fighters in her division. Her second fight out, she's beaten two of the top-ranked individuals in her division, yet she remains so humble and just loving life. You know, you got to love that aspect. You know, the future is great for Christina Williams. I think under TKO Sports Management, Mikhail and Reese, I think they have done an absolute tremendous job in articulating this fighter and demonstrating what she can do, but also, you know, withholding and allowing her career to grow as she truly is a champion in the making. With that being said, I want to thank Vince Murdoch. I want to thank Christina Warhorse Williams, TKO Sports Management, Team Alpha Male. I also want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, the86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, BiteMeMouthGuards.com, one of the best mouthguards you can get. I suggest you go to BiteMeMouthGuards.com. And my newest sponsor, CutManForHire.com, with Jacob Stitch Duran and Juan Ramirez. They truly have blessed me. You know, to have a legend put their name on my show truly means the world to me. I'm at a loss for words being able to rock Cut Man for Hire and all the sponsors that I do. I also want to thank the United Way Merced. Without you and all of you, the show wouldn't be physically possible. You know, it was a humbling experience with Vince, but Christina Warhorse Williams is going to be the future of the sport. Let's get both these fighters back on track and get them where they need to be. On that note, you have a good night and God bless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo. Damn, yeah.
Haters ain't fond of me, that shit don't bother me. It ain't no stopping me, constantly dodging hypocrisy. I just be flawing so properly, showing the modesty, overly effortless. Flow with a preference, only to show you the regimen. Cope with a specimen. I'm simply convinced they know that my shine is indefinite. Feed them the flow like it's medicine. Freak with a soul like a benefit. Silence the desolate pessimist. Flow is so holy, turn Muslim to Methodist. I've been so relentless, I've been on a mission. I've been killing shit, but no one seems to get it. I've been dodging drama, trying to find a witness. Watch as I go homicidal on a victim. Young nigga flow so hard, that's what she said. The masterpiece read, you have to be actually rapping. The past is a massive effect. The smash to respect, the pace to be humble. But it's okay to be humble, cause I will blatantly sun you. Don't think I will rage in a rumble. Come through when I blaze like a sun. With more tenacious when I'm scorching stages, I perform and formulate a coronation. I can orchestrate a verbal forestation, then coordinate a true subordination. That means I'm a step ahead. Switch flows like I wet the bed. Just pose and I recollect. Sit back, kick that, more rhymes for your head to flex. Now it's time to rest. I'm not a fan of civil bars. Spit a bar that'll make a rapper quick. That's menopause. Get a cure when I spit my sickest shit at 10 or more. I ensure I can make a hearty rapper insecure. I don't give a damn about a mumble rapper. Sounding alarm when I light the torch. I know it's gonna be hard to be humble after your boy blows up and ain't hitting more. Oh well, let him hate some more. Erase the fake, deflate the force. I'll take your place, I'll wage a war. Arrange your way to plague a source. Then I waste any taste of joy. You know, there's so many ways I can flow. Yeah, that's why they pay for the flow. They look at me like they just need to go. Shit, but really they just in the gold. I'm back to the humble statements. Before I become the greatest, I know that they feel my potential. That's why I use all the hate as my motivation.